You're listening to the First in Football podcast, celebrating 150 years of Princeton Tigers football.
Back here on the First in Football podcast, I'm Jerry Price. I'm with the Princeton University head football coach, Bob Sarace. Coach, congratulations on the opening win.
Thanks, Jerry.
So the game against Butler was 49-7, 42-0 at halftime, and I feel like it was a pretty good opportunity for you to play another team, to get some guys who were in unfamiliar roles to take a leap forward, to get some guys who hadn't really seen the field much to get them to get their feet wet. And I think you saw some pretty good things, got the win, and you get to move on to week two.
Yeah, it was great to execute as well as we did early, which did. It allowed us to get a lot of guys in, a lot of guys. It was the first snaps they've ever taken on the Princeton football field. And to be able to do that, because we're going to need those so many of these guys to step up and play throughout the season, really some of them starting this week. So it was a great opportunity.
I mean, I think we should start with the wide receivers, because you lost the two guys to the NFL, and we've talked a lot about them and don't really want to keep harping on who's not here. But the four guys who stepped in, they all made major contributions. Bermelin, Griffin, Classy, and Yosivash. And, you know, two touchdowns for Yosivash. Classy throws a touchdown pass. Griffin catches a touchdown. And Bermelin leads the team in receiving yards. They can't really ask for much more than that.
Yeah, those guys have worked really hard. And we saw that last year, their development. And they happen to have great mentors in front of them to learn, you know, how you have to prepare, how you have to practice. Andrew Griffin has been wonderful. He has been tremendous as the leader of that group and building a culture, you know, within that group. And they got a ways to go. There's some things that they're going to get better at, and we're going to really harp on this week detail-wise. But I love how they approach practice, and they're good athletes.
And I'm pretty sure he's telling me the truth when he says his name is pronounced Yosivash, right?
I just call him Andre, you know, or the Flying Hawaiian. The Flying Hawaiian's good for me, you know, back to Shane Victorino days.
I like that, the Flying Hawaiian. And then, of course, Kevin Davidson made his second start at quarterback. Just a great first half, 16 for 18 in the first half for 314 yards. He threw two touchdowns. This is all in the first half, six straight touchdown drives. Were it not for the miscommunication on the snap on fourth down, it could have been seven touchdown drives. And just looked great. I mean, he looked like he made every throw. He had great poise. He looked like he was the leader you're needing him to be.
Yeah, I agree. There were some really tight windows. He hit those when he needed to. There's a couple times he had to throw the ball away. And I was just as happy, because I've seen him hit the tight windows. Everybody's seen him in practice. He has such a tremendous arm, and he works so hard at his mechanics. But the hard thing for a quarterback, especially a young quarterback, is knowing when to live to the next play. And he did a really good job. Like, as you said, his poise was outstanding.
And then if you look defensively, I mean, a lot of the attention, obviously, when you put 42 points up in the first half, you think, okay, I mean, the offense was great, but the defense, I mean, they gave up nothing, shut them out in the first half, really just locked down the whole way. And DeLon Stallworth was tremendous, eight tackles. He had an interception. But really contributions from a lot of different guys on the defense. Talk a little bit about Stallworth and then just about the defensive effort in general.
Yeah, DeLon has been, you know, since he got here, he's just been, you know, different. His leadership, the way he carries himself, his work ethic, and there's so much you love about him. And, you know, it was nice to see him get his first interception, because his coverage skills and tackling have really been excellent. In terms of that. And I thought defensively we tackled well. We were communicating well. Like, things that when you go to the first game you worry about and concern you, but we practiced really well. There's some things we got to clean up as the game went on. We lost a little focus, but on the whole, I thought they played really well.
When your team waits so long to play its first game, what's it like on the first game day? You know, you're so ready to get going at that point, I would think.
Yeah, the locker room, and anybody who's in the locker room, it's really tight. You got 109 guys on the team, and I'm about to deliver a message to them to hopefully inspire them as they go out there. And they're pushing me out the door because they're ready to run through the walls. So there's not a lot I have to say before that first game. They literally are chomping at the bit. They can't wait to run out there in terms of that. And you know, it's when you put the headphones on, you see other coaches, you let them, these guys are ready. They're ready to play.
Before we turn the page on that game, one other player I wanted to mention was Tavish Rice. 7 for 7 on extra points, 8 for 8 touchbacks kicking off. Pretty sharp debut.
Yeah, I've never seen from the 35-yard line a guy without wind, anything else, hit the upright, hit the crossbar, and go in. Like, that was, you know, his leg strength is tremendous. And when you said guys ready to go, he was so amped up in a positive way with positive enthusiasm. That was good.
He's actually a pretty big guy for a kicker.
He's so strong, and he's so, you know, with the technique on field goals, he's had to work really hard. And you see that with golfers. You see that with baseball pitchers, the longer limb guys. It takes them sometimes a little longer to get the mechanics down. But his strength is outstanding.
So the next test is the first road game of the year, the trip to Bucknell, kickoff 3:30 Saturday. A Bucknell team that's 0-3, 1-10 a year ago, a new head coach. I feel like you can probably relate to where he is in terms of trying to build his program.
Yeah, no, they had a challenging schedule. They are coming off a bye. Defensively, all I know of Bucknell is they're physical, and I think they remind a lot of Dartmouth in the way they smush you back, and they're do such a great job. They're tackling, they're running to the ball, they're physical that way. Offensively, in their head coach was at Lehigh my early years, and we didn't stop Lehigh. I have such great respect for what they do. We've studied them very hard in our off seasons, copied a lot of things that Lehigh did. He brought those to Valpo, had success offensively at Valpo, and you can see it building. They got some receivers. Sanders especially is a big play threat. Their running game is going to be a physical attack at you, and you know, it's going to be a really good offense, and it may be the best special teams unit we play all year.
And you could, you know, I mean, your first 2 years a bit of a struggle, 1-9 and 1-9, sort of relate to what it takes to operate week to week as you're in the early stages of building something.
Yeah, and sometimes you're looking at like, you know, as a coach, the foundation is your special teams, and that's as good a group, you know, through three games as we will see. That the way they punt it, kick it, cover it, block, all those things are outstanding. Credit to their players, talent, and their coaches. And defensively, that is a physical unit. And they got weapons offensively. They got some real weapons, and you see them making plays against FBS schools like Temple and a potential Final Four playoff contender in Villanova. You know, that's the real deal there.
So it's Princeton-Bucknell. Kickoff is 3:30 on Saturday. Coach, good luck, and thanks for being with us.
Awesome. Thanks, Jerry.
We'll be back with more on the First in Football podcast in a few moments.
The Alchemist and Barrister is proud to present the First in Football podcast each week throughout the Princeton Tigers football season. Check out the newest menu additions at the A&B. Breakfast on Saturdays and Sunday from 9 to 12:30, better known as Feed the Day, highlighting their specialty omelets, eggs your way, and French toast. Visit the Alchemist and Barrister in the heart of Princeton and online at theanb.com. The Alchemist and Barrister, well known as the Cheers of Princeton, is proud to present the First in Football podcast and support the Princeton Tigers. Back on the First in Football podcast, joined by Tigers quarterback Kevin Davidson, a senior from Danville, California. Saturday against Butler in the season opener, 18 of 21, 341 yards, 2 touchdowns, and the Tigers 49-7 win. Kevin, first off, welcome. We were laughing a little bit on the air because post-game Renee Washington, our sideline reporter, asked you about your thoughts, and I think your thing was, made some mistakes today. 18 for 21, you didn't make too many mistakes. Thoughts on your performance Saturday? What was sort of your takeaway from that?
Yeah, Cody, appreciate you having me. Saturday was a great game, but once again, there's, you know, always in the first game, there's going to be some kinks you have to iron out. Some protection errors I made, and just getting on the same page with the coaches and making sure that I'm, you know, making all the right decisions.
Last year, you started one game at Brown, and I think we all saw that you're capable of being a starting Ivy League quarterback even last year. I'm sure you felt that way long before that, but how challenging was it being behind Chad Knopf, who's in the NFL, John Lovett, who's in the NFL, knowing that you're good enough, but knowing you have to bide your time?
Yeah, it was a tremendous challenge every day, just wanting to get better, wanting to show the coaches what I can do. But those guys were two just unbelievable people beyond the field as well, and two guys that I've really you know, have mentored me throughout the years, and two guys I really look to for advice. And I think that the biggest thing I took away from last year was just always being prepared. I had no idea I was going to be starting the Brown game and going through week to week, you know, thinking that I'm going to be able to play. was kind of huge for me to continue to develop, continue to get better throughout the weeks, and I think that showed in the Brown game.
Last spring, obviously, Chad Kanoff graduated the year before, so he's not around. John Lovett finishes up his eligibility, so he's not around. Is there a specific moment that you remember where it's like, okay, this feels like my team and my offense now?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, throughout the spring, just going through the weight room sessions, continuing to lead these younger guys to develop, especially with these younger receivers that we kind of had a vision that we're going to step up this year. Just taking a leadership role, helping them out, helping them, you know, throughout school, and just focusing their time on football and getting this timing starting to get rolling. That was crucial and something that I think really helped us.
Wide receiver, at least outside looking in, it was a little bit of a question mark, losing Jesper Horsted and Steven Carlson, two of the best to play the position here. Question about how you're going to replace those guys. Saturday against Butler, eight different players catch passes. Let's sort of go down the list. Tell me about Jacob Bermelin. We saw a little bit what he could do last year before he suffered an injury.
Yeah, Jake's been just a fantastic teammate. He's always a high-energy guy, always just sprinting throughout every period at practice, whether it's a walkthrough tempo or, you know, a full team period. And his routes have just tremendously improved throughout the years, and someone who I can really trust in our timing from all the offseason work.
Andrew Griffin, he's a senior. He's been around the program as long as you have, but he makes his first career start on Saturday.
Yeah, I actually talked with his dad after the game on Saturday, and I told him that it all started. We actually got in at the end of the game of the Butler game last year and threw him an out route. And
that was his first career catch?
First career catch, and then we started the game off with a nice out route to him in this year's game, and then obviously got him his first touchdown later in the second quarter. So he's just incredible. He's a great kid, really smart, knows the offense like nobody on the team, and someone who's going to be a very consistent player throughout the year.
Andre Yosevash certainly looks the part. We know he's a tremendous athlete, an Ivy League track and field champion in the decathlon. Three catches, 75 yards, two touchdowns. What does he bring to the table?
He's just a physical specimen. He, obviously, throughout the spring, he was involved with track, but any moment I could, I would grab him. We would try and throw as much as we could, get him to continue to know that he is a football player here and not just a track athlete. And, yeah, he made some just incredible plays, made me look good, and continues to get better every day.
Do you feel like maybe your job's in jeopardy after that pass Dylan Classy threw? Sophomore wide receiver threw a 44-yard touchdown pass, second on the team behind you in that category. Tell us about Dylan.
Yeah, Dylan's a special kid. He and I always joke around when we throw because, you know, if we throw a nice post, if I throw a post to him, he always throws it back and throws a beautiful spiral as well. So he's always joking around with that. But he's just a technician in routes. I don't think any DB in this league could ever guard him, and I look forward to seeing what he can do this year.
The Tigers with their third offensive coordinator in the last four seasons, and when you win Ivy League championships and win football games, that's a position that's likely to turn over. James Perry, who left 2 years ago for the head job at Bryan, and then the past two seasons, Sean Gleason, who's now the offensive coordinator at Oklahoma State. Two guys that were fiery, to say the least, and then this year it's Andy Orick. Seems like he's maybe a little bit more laid back. Sort of talk about that dynamic with the new offensive coordinator.
Yeah, Coach Orick's been a tremendous addition. He's someone who I can trust. I can always go to with any concerns or questions I have about plays or protections. And he's so willing to talk through them and kind of explain them from the get-go. Coach Perry and Coach Gleason were tremendous people to learn from and definitely had a different coaching style. But I'm really happy with where we are with Coach Orick, and he's been an incredible kind of person to continue to evolve this special offense that we run.
Let's talk about you and how you ended up at Princeton, originally signing in your home state with UC Davis. What do you remember about that journey, signing with them and then eventually ending up here at Princeton?
Yeah, so I signed with UC Davis early in my junior year after some, you know, a little situation in high school where I transferred, and then the state of California didn't exactly like that transfer. So I ended up getting to only play four games my junior year and then having to go back to my other high school for the remaining six games of my senior year. So UC Davis was just a good fit. It was close to my house. And then there was kind of some rumors that the coaches were going to turn over. So that's not really something I wanted to be a part of. And I camped at Princeton in the summer and some other SEC schools. And after I decommitted, those were kind of a couple options. And ultimately, just Princeton felt like home after my official visit. Chad was my host, and really just fell in love with the campus and the alumni and everyone who I kind of got to interact with on that journey, as well as when I went home to San Francisco. There's a few alums that reached out, I went and got breakfast with, and just made it feel like a tremendous place where really felt like I mattered and somewhere I can, you know, feel like I can thrive.
What's your major?
I'm a history major.
And what's the plan after football's done?
We'll see how that goes. Definitely want to try and keep playing football, but Coach Verbitz connected me with some incredible people in the Bay Area that, you know, check in with me all the time, and received a lot of texts after the last game from them. So we'll kind of plan that out as it goes, but just focus on the season one game at a time, and we'll see how that happens.
I saw in your bio on GoPrincetonTigers.com one of your interests, Ford Mustangs.
Yeah, I did have a nice little stick shift GT in high school. It was really fun, and there's a couple people in my town who have nice car collections, and that's something I really enjoy when I go home on the holidays, is going on little drives with them.
Finally, Bucknell this Saturday. Film you've had a chance to watch this week. What stands out about the Bucknell defense?
They're big and physical. That's something that, you know, I've continued to remind our team about, that we just got to be really smart with our releases and, you know, match that physicality up in the front seven as well as out at receiver. And we're really excited for the challenge.
Kevin, thanks for catching up with us. Good luck Saturday.
Thank you so much, Cody.